Let's talk
donations.
Best Christmas ever one last time. Let's see. Today this podcast is December 1st. Bingo. Sweet. Today of all days, donate if you have the opportunity, because Thrivent Financial is going to match 50% of every donation. You donate $100, Thrivent will top that with another 50. So get to your pocketbooks, go to our show notes right now, donate for Best Christmas Ever. If it's not our page, maybe it's a friend's page. There's a bunch of these Twin Cities families that need to be helped, and jump on the train, because Thrivent Financial is capitalizing on today and today only in matching every donation 50%. I'm just in-
Well, we might as well get started here before we screw something else up.
Decky, how we doing, brother?
We're good, dude. I'm trapped in my house back home right now in Colorado.
Back in Denver. Hey, this is our yearly podcast where we're typically separated doing this one. This is nothing new here.
Yeah, there's nothing new. There's a good chance we're going to lose the audio on this one. Someone's going to go out. There's somewhere. Someone's going to drop the Zoom call. It's probably going to be me being in my parents' basement. So we'll see how it goes. You could probably relate to this a little bit, but it's weird being like the guy in your parents' basement.
It's
for
very
even
strange.
A couple days.
Yeah, especially for not being that person for quite some time.
Right. Yeah. Like I haven't been back to Colorado since Mother's Day. So I haven't really had to deal with all the COVID stuff, and now I came home and it's like a whole new wave of protocol I never even thought was possible.
So you got back on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and is it a packed house? Are all the Browns home?
Yeah, all seven.
Damn, that's got to be an electric feeling. When's the last time that was the case? Probably last Christmas?
Yeah, probably last Thanksgiving, I would say a year ago.
Okay.
It's so funny because when we all get together, and if you're listening right now and you don't know this, me, Declan Brown, Decky West Coast, I'm the oldest of five kids in my family. We're 2 years apart going all the way down. But yeah, it's just weird because no one's really home with each other like this ever. So there's always like this weird moment in time of like we all kind of just like look at each other and we're like, I guess we should hang out with each other. I think that's a good move. Like we never really do that. So it's kind of weird. But always initiating, it's always good to circle the wagon per se.
Oh yeah. And how's the yearly family photo that you guys do? You know, every year you go home and you're always got some facial feature that your mom's not ready to, you know, she's not approving of your new facial feature. So how was this Thanksgiving family shoot?
Well, we did our photo shoot on Thursday. I still have my mullet today, which is we're recording on Sunday for a Tuesday release.
Oh, snap.
So my hair, I kept the mullet through and through. Now, my mom pulled a quick one. She wanted to go with Santa hats this year. That's all I'm going to leak about our Brown family Christmas card, is we went with Santa hats. So you really can't tell that I have a mullet. You also can't tell that my hair's like looks terrible. But what I ended up doing was we took a few photos after, just me and my mom and my dinky haircut and everything. And I kind of just like looked at it and I was like, you know what? Mom's right. You know, the mullet, like I'm like full dirtbag mullet right now and I don't like it. It's I got to go back to my Metro style. I probably got like 6 inches on the back. I need to get it down to at least 3.5, 4.
Yeah. Well, savvy move for Maureen right there. That is amazing. That's out of left field of, you know, I'm not going to be the mom that's going to continuously time and time again, say, shave the mustache, cut your hair. This time around, she's like, we're bringing out the hats, Santa hats, baby. That's amazing. Shout out Maureen.
Yeah, she killed it. She's always crossing her T's, dotting her I's, but she's always got the next move just when I think that I've got her and I'm going to win it this time, especially something that we do routinely every year. I think this is my move. I think this is the time for me to pop off, really show my true colors. And she came right back around with her left hook. And all those Christmas cards are being sent out right now as we speak. So if you want one, just shoot us your email and you'll get not only the Back Pocket Christmas card, but my family one as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. We got to still shoot our Back Pocket Christmas card. You'll be coming home in a couple weeks. And, you know, go to our website, thebackpocketpodcast.com, to get yourself a free Christmas card. All we need is your address to send it your way. This year is going to be exciting for us. We get to have like an actually a company card. The last 2 years have just been our intern. 2 years ago was intern Sam. Last year was intern Ty. Now we have a full-on squadron of a corporation.
Yeah, and we're gonna. And don't think that we're not going to try and get as many involvements, many people involved in this photo as possible to show our company growth. I think that goes without saying. We're definitely going to need to have Lauren Paul in there, absolutely ripping the social media nowadays. She's kind of our social media guru. Jeremy Kofi had a Back Pocket Sales episode 290. He'll be in there. Straight Candid Girls, they got to be in there. Sid and Soph. Am I missing anyone?
Of course, intern Marcus, who's now producer Marcus.
Well, producer Marcus, that was a stupid one to miss there. Producer Marcus, and then
you know, we could add in T-Flo, who's the right now the current host of the Date Night podcast,
we might as well throw her
in production.
Right, it's in production. It's our hottest podcast right now, the Date Night podcast. We should get into that a little bit, actually. But ultimately, yeah, I think we add T-Flo to that 100%. That's a no-brainer for me. That's like eight people?
Yeah, that's a handful. That's a good amount.
Yeah, that's eight.
Have accomplished. And then is that eight including us?
Yeah.
Okay. I really want to get a baker's dozen. I don't know why, but a baker's dozen just feels like a real company.
Yeah. No, we're not a real company yet. And that's by those standards, we're not even there yet. So
yeah, we're climbing. We're up and to the right.
Yeah. It's so funny that you bring that up, though, with the company card or the Christmas card, because like usually by this time in the year, like we're getting ready to like wrap up the podcast. We're getting ready to like shut everything down for the winter, or at least for January, and then kind of like take a little bit of a break. And we're just like not doing that this year at all.
No stoppage.
No stopping.
And I think we've given ourselves enough like breather now with the production of the podcast where it doesn't feel like we're drained when it comes to this time of the year. Like we have people now taking care of the back end, or like I'd say like 60% of the post-production stuff is taken care of for us. So it's like a huge relief off of our shoulders. So when it comes to this time of year, I'm like just giddy to continue to refine that process because we haven't gotten perfect at it yet. So stopping it would just feel like we're backtracking instead of what it typically has been, is a time for us to decompress, maybe, you know, take a little Back Pocket retreat and do some internal reflecting. This time around, you know, we've had the time to reflect each week with our meeting Mondays and whatnot. So,
yeah,
there's no stopping in sight.
No, I totally agree. There's definitely no stopping. And, but it also is kind of evolving as we go. I mean, right now with probably the listeners keeps track of us week to week are probably seeing more episodes with just me and you pop up here and there. And, you know, it really just comes down to the timing of when I can be back and record podcasts in the studio. But at the same time, I mean, I think our evolution is something that I've been really proud of this year, outside of like numbers or viral videos or, I don't know, just like that kind of communal impact where you're seeing it online and stuff that we gauge ourselves by those metrics all the time, with downloads and how many likes on your Instagram posts, how many people are engaging, that all that stuff has been, I've paid attention to it, and I know you have too, but it hasn't really been a focus of ours this year. I just really like our evolution kind of behind closed doors this year.
Agreed. You know, year one of the Back Pocket was, hey, do we really even want to be doing this? We love doing it. This is very time consuming. We were very consistent, but we kept doing it. Year two, we found our rhythm. We had a consistency, and we figured, and then we graduated from school. Year three is when we released, what was that? It was 120 podcasts in 40 weeks. and absolutely really showed our true colors of, you know, what we're capable of. And, but that was the entire time, it was you and I doing it. It was you and I producing every podcast, grinding night after night, day after day. And so year four, our goal was to figure out a way, how do we outsource nearly everything so that you and I can expand the company and make this an actual corporation, like we've been talking about. And, you know, we're trying our best. I wouldn't say we've done it amazing, because 2020 has also been like a fucking nightmare of a year with not only COVID and the political and social injustice reform, all this stuff, but you and I have now officially separated locations. Like, this has just been a whirlwind of a year. And at the same time, we're now fully producing another podcast, in the works of releasing a date night podcast. And we've had the ability to outsource the majority of our own podcast. I mean, for what it's worth, that's a pretty incredible feat. Regardless, like, you started this whole thing, regardless of any viral video or any amount of podcast listens that we get this year, that aspect is not easy. Like, people don't really realize how hard it is to train someone to do something that you already do, because it takes, like, on the front end, it takes 10 times more of the work for them to figure it out. But then on the back end, once they figure it out, it is an extreme relief, release of time and energy.
Yeah, no, that's well said. And I think a lot of the times when I start feeling like, or starting to compare ourselves from what we were last year, and strictly from like metrics or podcast release or whatever, like, I kind of have this moment of like, man, I kind of wish I was back in that situation recording as many as we do. Or, but I start to realize like we're working so hard to do something that we've never done before. Which is outsource, which is produce other people's podcasts, which is create experiences that not everybody else can have, or not create experiences for other people that are unique. Those types of things I've realized are far more rewarding when I can just kind of let myself at ease with not hitting the same metrics per se that we did last year. Like, the impact, I guess, that we're making, or the progress that we're making, is not necessarily tangible from a day-to-day standpoint. But when I look back at some of the milestones, I'm like, all right, we are doing stuff this year. Like, we are actually making a movement.
We are actually recreating that launch pad that we talked about. I don't even know what year that was, but when we were talking about creating a launch pad, I think the original intention of it was, you know, pooling all of these people, all these guests that we've had on our show, and using them as like our foundation to launch ourselves. And that's like great and all, but when we finished last year, 2019, of recording 120 of these, like, what do you launch from there? Like, what do you say you do? What's the actual foundation? Oh, we can do 240 podcasts. Like, we can produce more of them ourselves. Like, what is that at the end of the day going to get us? Which could be an awesome feat, but I don't think that's what we really wanted. We wanted to be able to get more out of back pocket outside of the studio. And to do that, we had to outsource. So, that is the launch pad now. Like, granted, this year has been an absolute shit storm, and we're still figuring it out, and our processes are flawed, yet there's some structure there. But that's a better launch pad, and I think that's got more like long-term growth than what 2019 actually accomplished. But it's hard to actually unpack it when you you explain to someone else.
Yeah, well, it's funny that you bring up, like, what did we accomplish in 2019, and we can give you all the numbers, and then, like, we could, but it pales in comparison to what we've done in 2020, which is start two new podcasts, hired, I mean, we said 8 people in our Christmas card, so we hired 6 people and started two new podcasts, outsourced 60% of our podcast production, and, like, are starting to formulate, basically, a company and brand that we can kind of absorb ourselves into. I think that's another part of the launch pad that I like, is that not only, I think before we were thinking of it more singularly, where we build the launch pad for us to jump on, and maybe others too. I think we had intentions of giving for sure. And actually I think our intentions are the same, because if I remember correctly, the idea is if you come on the back pocket, that's a launch pad for you to basically grow and accelerate or basically become known in within our community or within the greater Minneapolis area because we gave you because we had you on the show type thing.
Right.
I still think that is true. But I also think we're just taking that and being creative with what that actually stands for, i.e. producing the Straight Candid podcast rather than just having Sid and Soph on. We're actually putting money into them and money and time into them to have them amplify themselves to a certain degree, but we're kind of the well-oiled machine behind it.
Exactly. And even like at the beginning of the year, all the content that we were producing was incredible. That was something that we had never really tried. From a community aspect of doing one thing with every podcast guest outside of the studio. That kind of came to a halt when COVID came in middle of March, and we kind of saw a lack of, being able to see that many new people or be in as many community events as possible. Hell, we still threw Boatchella this year, which was an incredible accomplishment. I know this is becoming kind of like a year of reflection podcast, but hell, like, I love unpacking it because we don't always get to do this. The fact that we put on Boatchella and accomplished what we did there with having 200 people on a boat in Stillwater with two live performances and a DJ and partnering with all the small businesses in the area, I think is where I hang my hat the most, from Liftbridge to what's the Famous Dave's, to all of the sponsors that join the ride, like Float and you name it, Minnesotan. It was incredible. Like, that is something that we never thought was possible. Like, all of these companies wanting to buy into what we're producing. And then you fast forward to what we're currently doing right now with Best Christmas Ever. That's the ultimate give back. This is the opportunity now. We've built 4 years of work, of community, of 300 guests that come on our show. And now we have the ability to raise $5,000 and give back to a family that lives down the road, and give them exactly what fill their back pocket with as much needs as possible. Best Christmas ever. I'm stoked.
I know. It's going to be so nuts. I was talking about that last episode, just like by myself, just like it was the same day that we had got our family, or not the same day we got our family, but I submitted like who we wanted our family to be. And it was just like crazy scrolling through 180 different people who were within 10 miles of us that needed help this year and were in dire need. And I think it's just cool. Like Jason Coons, who's a co-founder of this company, who's been on this podcast and he's a good dear friend of ours, like for him to be able to have put us on as a captain this year and then us to take the charge on trying to raise as much money as possible. Like, it's wild to, it's funny because it's something we've never done before, but it's also like something that we're used to doing all the time. Like, yeah, we've never raised money before, but like where it doesn't feel like I'm in a foreign position it doesn't feel like we're in a foreign position getting ready to like surprise a family on Christmas.
Yeah, it feels like we've now have the opportunity to utilize things that have come into our circle that we haven't necessarily asked in this way before, which is the coolest part. And then even like Straight Candid has done a great job of promoting Best Christmas Ever, and I'm excited to actually like be there with the family and see how this goes down, because this is again something that we're going to be a part of year after year, and I believe. What they like to have is $5,000 per family. So maybe we proved to ourselves that $5,000 wasn't as crazy as a feat as originally thought of, and we can hit multiple families next year. So that's even like a launch pad in itself.
Yeah, no, yeah. The idea that we could raise more than $5,000 is obviously like where that's where we want to be. Like, that's how we want to go, but you know, it's consistent. It's the consistent process. I just really enjoy how like we never really stop moving no matter what. Like, we could easily shut the podcast down right now between you and I, just because I'm not there anymore. We're busy with other stuff. Like, we've got a pretty full plate right now, but I like the consistency that we operate with, because I think over time that it's gonna be rewarding to us at some point whenever we go back to tell the story, because everything's documented
and everything is like, documented, and you can go back and see exactly how we're thinking and exactly what we're doing. It's too funny. So how was that podcast last week, recording by yourself?
It was good. I liked it. I really enjoyed, I think what being by myself more, I just need to like find more ways to just kind of like put my thoughts down on paper, but like do it more creatively, like a podcast. Just like, I need to just like dive into my own self a little bit more, have that inner dialogue that Ian Delaney talks about. It was really hard. Just like making sure you're on the same page, like on the same track of what your thoughts were and making sure you're tying stories together. It was super fun. I had some slip ups. I had some good moments here and there. The analytics looked pretty good. Like the average listen time was almost 40 minutes, which is the majority of the podcast. So it seemed to me like I was engaging enough, which is another concerning part of mine, which I was like, you know, I don't know if anybody is listening. I don't know. Like, it's tough to gauge or get a response. But ultimately, it was fun, man. I didn't really think twice about it. It's something I had really wanted to do, and I'm just glad the opportunity just kind of came across the table at the right time.
Yeah, I'm stoked that you did it, because that's something that you've been talking about and wanting to do forever. And I think a week before that, I was letting you know, hey, I'm going to be in Hilton Head. And I won't have access to like a good microphone. What are your thoughts on diving in yourself? And you're like, dude, I actually recorded one, like a day ago, and I did something stupid or silly and I just lost all of the audio, but it got me all giddy for actually doing it for Back Pocket one day. So this is kind of like a crazy coincidence.
Right. And I do think like there's a concept out there that I was texting you about on when I was on the plane a few days ago, but like I think there's a concept and an art to doing solo podcasts and record and like having spoken word in like a monologue format. Like, I think that is an art, and it's not quite stand-up comedy. It's not quite radio. It's not quite like me reading a monologue, but it's like a free ball version of that I feel like, I mean, I personally enjoy listening to that, especially when like the Chris D'Elias of the past, they used to do it. Theo Von does it every once in a while. I really got charged up when Antonio Sundquist did it on his new podcast, the Human Capital Podcast. That was just super, super cool to listen to. And it's just a different type of vibe. And I don't know what I think my concept that I had originally was like, call it like the open mic, or call it something off the cuff, where basically the concept
with John and Sarah.
Off the cuff with John and Sarah. That's it. I can't get into copyright there. But I think there could be something there where if basically it would just be a podcast of people talking to themselves. And I think that would be really fun to do, and just have different people come on and talk to themselves about what they want to talk about, and see if they can pull it off and see if it's entertaining or not. Because I certainly had a lot of fun things to say, but like, I'm not really someone who's like, people are going to be like dying to listen to, right? Because like, I'm just screwing around, making jokes, and like, not really. I mean, I gave a little bit of context to like why I'm in an RV, but like, I feel like there's people out there that have not, that could easily like dive in on themselves for a while. But that could even just be the concept of the Back Pocket in general, where we do that with people anyways. I don't know. I just thought that the artwork, the specific point of recording by yourself, I thought was a cool concept, and I'm trying to think of how, ways that we could make that into a podcast.
Yeah, I definitely think there's something there, right? Because it's like, it's not a TED talk, because we don't want to make it like as formal and as like, you know, glitz and glamour as a TED talk. No, this is like nitty gritty. This is diving into you, or you maybe pull up some funny videos and you do some commentary over it. But the 30 minutes or 50 minutes, however long that person wants to go for, like, that's their time. And it would be
hit record. There you go. It's funny, we're yeah. Zoom doing a Zoom call right now, and Andrew's got the DSLR hooked up to his Zoom, so I'm the one who can see when Andrew's camera goes out, so I gotta let him know, gotta hold him accountable.
Every 23 minutes, we're on a cycle here. But what's cool about that, like that setup, is they have the 30, 50 minutes to choose the creative outlet that they want to tap into, and Yeah, I definitely think that's a podcast opportunity. That would be extremely challenging to find people for, because it's such a, at first it's going to feel like a daunting task, but when you find the person that crushes it, whatever the title of the podcast is, it's irrelevant. It's just that their name is going to, it's like a TED talk. It's like when you go on to TED.com, TEDx.com or whatever, and you look up like vulnerability and Brené Brown comes in. That's what you would find when it comes to this, but it's going to be more, either it could be comedy based, it could be personal, it could be factual, whatever it is. There's something there. I like it.
Yeah. Well, you brought up TED Talks, and I think that's like perfect because it's direct, it's got a point, it's monologue ish because, you know, it's one person talking about stuff that they know. So it could be very informative and impactful that way. And then for just me personally, I found it very fun and engaging because I felt like I was able to workshop jokes and workshop thoughts and different stories in my head that I normally wouldn't get to do unless I was on stage. So I thought that was a cool void too. So, and now you bring it up even more, I'm like, we could make it like the tiny desk of podcast of like TED Talks.
Yes. Honestly. And like, think of how many people say they want to start a podcast, but they like, I don't want to like do 100 of them. I don't want to do like 7 of them. They just want one. And this is an opportunity for them not to have any structure. Like, it's not like they're coming onto the back pocket and we format the story. No, that's their slot. It's their time slot. And I think that would be even more exciting for people that are like, I'm just like thinking off of like the Tommy Bears, the Jason Coons, the Khadija Coopers, that it would just come on here and just riff for 45 minutes and have a blast, because that's like all that they really want is to release one thing about themselves and then maybe have like 6 or 7 pieces of content for them to share off of it.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're getting at something for sure. I'm just trying to think about how it would be, if it would be like, because it's hard, it's just hard. Like, agreed. You can't, I'm not going to tell my random Joe Schmo friend who's like thinking of recording a podcast, I'm not going to just be like, oh yeah, hop into this and just like look at yourself and talk. Like, I don't think that's the way we should get them started. I think
it's not going to be successful.
Conversations on podcasts are the reason why podcasts are so great, in my opinion. Just like you can genuinely listen to people have a conversation and unpack it for 30 minutes to 3 hours. There's a power to that that podcasting has. But at the same time, there's also, in my opinion, within podcasting, this art form of doing something just totally on your own is something like totally different. It's been around in radio, but it's not, I don't think it's been formalized or done anything quite in podcasting. Like, I love when Colin Cowherd just does random, what do you call them?
Metaphors, analogies.
Yes. When Colin Cowherd can just dive into like why, who wore his hat backwards that one time?
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz wore his hat backwards, and he drew all the way back to like if a guy with his hat backwards showed up to his house trying to take his daughter on the date, like just stupid shit. But to me, that's entertaining to listen to. Like, there's an entertaining value in that, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, this is a great like transition of what we were just talking about. This is where we get to fill our headspace with now of how can we come up with the next best podcast opportunity for us to produce. You know, there's obviously the shoe-in ones where you get a great personality, you get a pair of personalities, and it becomes a show where a guest comes on, or the two personalities like Straight Candid can then just go off and do their thing consistently week after week. Another creative outlet that we've already tapped into is a date night podcast where we have a host, and then you know, you bring in a couple, or you bring in a blind date, you bring in two divorced parents that are wanting to sit down and have a drink. You have so many different opportunities of just like, what does a date look like in all these variations? That's a podcast. And now we're talking about, you know, an open mic or a TED Talk X-esque type podcast. This is like the most exciting thing for me right now, is to be able to sit back and be like, oh, this is actually a dope idea that we can execute on, and we know all the tactical skills to make it happen. Yeah. That's why I'm getting so fired up right now.
Yeah, no. And I think that goes back to the evolution of us, is like, I'm not sitting here and saying that we're not going to be the on-screen radio personality or podcast personalities or media personalities. Like, you and I are going to be on the interweb for a while. Like, we're not going anywhere. We're still recording these podcasts, but like, the creative juices and the creative thoughts that I get, internal and external, like, happiness from is through not like coming up with new concepts for Back Pocket in terms of like, oh, what kind of podcast should Andrew and I record next, or what guest should we have on? Cause that's kind of its own Rolodex that we can do pretty simply. Where I get the most creativity, or where I get the most intrinsic and extrinsic happiness, is thinking of new podcast ideas that I know are just going to fucking work. And I want to be behind every single one of them, put Back Pocket stamp on it, and have a company that I manage all of them for.
God, right? And it's so tangible. Like, I can grasp it. Obviously it's difficult, and the way to expedite it and make it happen is difficult. We need a lot of hands and manpower, women power. But
we need more women in our
All right, this is also something we need to talk about, because we just listed off how our company has grown. The thing that we figured out is we need doers. The way that our company works is we need to give them a concept, give them a couple of things that we need to get done, and they need to just do it. We can't have them coming back to us over and over again saying, did I do this right, or should I do it this way? No, we need you just do it. And more than times than not, you're a part of this for a reason. We trust the way you're going to do it. And the plain and simply, the best doers out there are the women in our company and the women that we've surrounded ourselves with. They are doers. And I'm so fired up. The Sophies, the Sids, the Laurens, the T-Flows. It's amazing. Yes, it's flawless. It's the best blueprint model we've established yet.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that we had any doubts about women not doing things before this, but we certainly were just like, we didn't even know that we needed doers until we hired women and they just started doing things.
Exactly.
Way easier, because there's always people in the past that are timid for a good reason. Like, you don't want to screw up someone's company and get someone canceled by something that you post on a blog or tweet or whatever. And I understand that there's a fear there to like basically put our hard work in shambles. But I don't think that the reason why we are as transparent and we are as authentic as we are is because we give the freedom for people to screw up or to make that call or to say something that's truly on their mind. And I think that's what makes the difference. So, you know, and like you said, Andrew, we hired three or four of these people this year in terms of content creation. We need more. We need four more. We need five more. We need as many more as we possibly can. And I think what I've done a bad job of in the past when we've brought people on is I've given them loose confines and then told them to go create, rather than saying, rather than just instilling the freedom and just saying, dude, put stuff out there that's truly you and put it out on our platform.
Yes.
Because it's at the end of the day, like, I barely even know what this brand is supposed to signify. It doesn't have a niche. So like, I'm not gonna cloud that niche and put that on you and then make you try and create content within those confines. Like, I want you to wake up every morning and feel stoked to do something fun and something that's satisfying to you creative in your creative process. And I want to be the enabler for you in that situation.
Yes. Oh man, you couldn't have said it better. And that makes me again think of the mirror mentality. Like, you know, it's the front facing, it's the outward looking version of the content. And that's all that we want. And our mirror can only be so big. We want to get other people's mirrors that they want to share and they want to enlighten other people to be a part of. That's what I think is the coolest thing, is like, we can create a mirror. Like, we have all we have like the website, all of like the weird ass things that people don't have time to figure out, Instagram handles, the equipment, whatever it needs to be. Yeah. All that shit, all the assets, we got the assets. all that we need now is the person to walk through our door and be like, hey, this is your platform. Do as you please. And that's the quote unquote Barstool model, but we're doing it in our own unique version because that's the coolest thing. Like Barstool is only doing it through the people that they have in their bubble. And they can only do it so well with the people involved in their circle. And if we do the exact same thing, it's going to look entirely different because there's so many other people. It's a completely different unit of people.
Right. Yeah. It's just a different perspective, a different time, a different era. Barstool started 20 years ago. They developed this model of, you know, hiring and enabling right away. And that's not a secret to anybody in the content creation realm. Like there's plenty of people doing that already. So like that part of it, that's just a great realization for us to just like, that was great for us to finally grasp that, put it that way. Like,
yeah.
We grasped a concept that's been around forever. But I think like you said, like we get excited about it because we've one figured that part out. But two, I mean, we just stay consistent. We're in year four. We're trying to build out the best thing possible for the perspective that we have. And through the process of trying new things, through the process of being in uncomfortable situations, through the process of trying new things and taking risks on people, you gain a new perspective. And that's the part that I love honing in on at all times, because your perspective is always going to change. The perspective of what I want in 5 years right now can easily change overnight to a new experience that hits me tomorrow morning that could then affect my perspective. So me getting, and any of us getting there's overly stimulated on the idea of where we want to go. It's much easier to be put at rest because you're actively doing things and you're okay and aware of your always shifting perspective.
Oh, dude, the hair on my arm is standing up again when you're saying that shit, because like when I came home and saw my family for the last couple weeks, and just been kind of surrounded by people that I've known my whole life. It's funny to see the evolution of their perspective and which way they have gone and have they changed their perspective? What route have they taken? It's cool to catch up and to sit back and realize that I am like challenging myself to look in a different person's lens or challenge myself to look in the creative realm, look at that in a different lens every week, every month, every year, and see how I can be impacted by this cool little thing called a content creation world. Like that is like the most back to intrinsically rewarding feeling. Like I can challenge my perspective and not fear that I'm losing the foundation of who I am. It's only gonna help me grow. And that's why I love like catching up with family, because I'm like, hopefully I can rub off on them and be like, hey, challenge yourself to look at a new perspective. Don't be telling me about why you voted for X, Y, and Z and all of these reasons of like small businesses and social issues. Like, don't tell me that. That doesn't help me figure out who you are and where you're going. That tells me about some vague things that you so happen to agree because of someone else agreeing. I don't know. Well, I was getting fired up when I was with family this past couple weeks.
Yeah. So you brought up two things that I really want to touch on. First one is like, do you think that being away from your family or being away from these different people while still having that same perspective that you just described there, where you're like constantly trying to figure out how to like be more creative and turn that looking back in the mirror and just saying, who is Andrew? Like, do you think that consistent process away from family has made you look or appear different or seem different to your family who only sees you like once or twice a year?
Absolutely. But not different in like, you've changed. It's more different. I know what you're going at. It's more like they look at me different. Like, holy smokes. Like, you're doing something that I can't really put my finger on. And I never really know what you're doing, but you always come at, like, you always have like a really cool energy that's uplifting and has growth to it. It's never like the consistent same thing that I'm sitting there to explain what I'm doing over and over again. That's like never seems mundane. If that answer your question?
Yeah, 100%. Cause I felt that way like 100%. Like I felt that way coming back this time more so than I ever have. Like, I felt like when I came back, everyone was like, not only have they looked at me and they're like, wow, you physically changed, like you have a full on mullet and you look like an idiot, but like the things that you've done in the last, like in this calendar year, I want to ask you questions on what you're doing and why you're doing them. And I think that to me was a cool eye-opening experience, because it reminded me to think about how your actions impact the people that matter the most, which is my family, who I don't see hardly ever. So that was one thing to like basically keep in my back pocket, like, okay, you know, posting a picture of your ass cheeks on Instagram, like if your mom sees that, she's not going to be very happy. Or like, my mom, that's a bad example because like it's just a picture of my butt cheeks, but like using that as an example of like, wow, while that is funny, or while that is something that gave you a lot of happiness, like that could also make your mom feel like totally uneasy about what you're doing in your life. So that was one instance where I felt like, oh man, like, should I be rethinking all the things I've done in my life, like in my life in this calendar year up to this point? Not necessarily, but at the same time, I get to explain it in a way where I'm like, no, this is how I was looking at it. Like, this is a challenge to myself. This is a way that I can push my boundaries a little bit to keep moving forward, to like find a better version of myself, or just to be happy with the version of myself that's standing right here. Like, I'm not doing this blindly, put it that way. And I think that was a lot of the clarification that I've had to give to people who have asked questions about what I'm doing right now.
Yep. No, that's really cool. And like, that's an aspect of like, we're putting out ourselves consistently every single day. So who's grasping the full version of ourselves? Who's just scrolling past it being like, oh, look at this guy with his cheeks out. Look at him with his mullet. Like, oh man, he looks like he's heading down a downward spiral. Or who's like a grasping like who Declan is? Are they just going, ooh, Declan's got his cheeks out? Or are they going to the podcast and listening to who Declan is right now? And
I cut you off there. But yeah, that's basically what it is, because like my dad listens to the podcast, but everybody else only sees the surface stuff like on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. So it's really funny to hear my dad's perspective of like what we're up to and the questions he asks versus like the questions like my little sisters would ask. Like my little sisters ask exactly what we just talked about. Declan, why are your ass cheeks hanging out? Ooh, what's going on with you and your RV? Ooh. And then like my dad asks, his first question when he picked me up from the airport was, has Mark Dowdle always been that much of a psycho?
Yes. Yes.
So that's like such a deep rooted question, because he's like, hasn't he been on the podcast last time? Like, I remember he was on the podcast last year talking about all these different races he was going to run and all these different things that he wanted to accomplish. And I was just thinking to myself, like, that's absolutely psychotic. I don't think he can do any of that shit. So I was curious on how he accomplished what he accomplished this year. So when it seemed like you guys had him on, he was like, it was weird because it seemed like he was a part of your podcast all of a sudden, because he was basically on every episode for the last month. So then I explained to him why that was and everything. And then he actually hasn't listened. He saw everything about the race, but has not listened to the podcast yet. So that's the next podcast that he's about to listen to.
Perfect.
Which I'm excited for, but it was funny for him to like ask. And the other part, he was like getting Mark Dowdle and Mark Amick screwed up. And
yep, all the marks. Yep. That's amazing.
Oh, so funny. But yeah, it's just interesting how you can get a different perspective and you could be digesting us in a totally different way. Like LinkedIn, Declan, if you only watch my LinkedIn stuff, like you're going to have far different questions than if you were to look on my Twitter or my Instagram.
Right. Or if you're listening to the podcast. Overall,
it's the same. Yeah. But the questions or the level of intelligence as to what we're doing is differs based on the platform.
Amen to that, dude. How about the group chat we got going right now? Oh, we forgot another employee of the company, Grant Adams, who probably won't be in the Christmas card because he lives in Arizona, but he's a big time corporate partner right now.
Talk about a doer. Yeah, he's basically our back pocket betting liaison. He gives everybody their bets for the week.
He really is our sports guy, because we don't really have a sports theme in our podcast. He's our sports guy.
Yeah, he's our sports guy. I don't know. It's funny to say that we're diving into the sports realm, but we're really now really just diving into being degenerate gamblers. Grant's the leading the charge on that.
Yeah, he's always he's a great guy.
It goes back to the same thing. It goes back to the same thing. Like, I'm willing to use our website and our platform to enable someone to get super excited writing sports betting blogs on sports every single week. Like, that's his thing. Grant loves doing that. And sometimes I don't even like remember that we write blogs until Grant like texts us like, blog is fire this week. It's awesome.
It is electric.
It's electric. Man. There was a second question I had though. I forgot what it was.
I was unpacking how it feels to talk with family and come back a little bit charged up, seeing if people have changed, seeing how they see your change.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for reminding me. One thing that I realized about me, which is like my average quality right now, 100%, is, dude, I can't stand still ever. Even if I sit on my hands, I can't stand still. I'm like that kid in kindergarten that like has to get sent to the hall because he can't sit still for a minute. Like that's me. I'm not good at sitting still for long periods of time. Like being home for the holidays and just like relaxing drives me nuts.
Yeah. I mean, you've always had that internally. Like when we go on vacation together, you're a nightmare because it's just like go, go, go. But it's awesome for vacation because you come up with new ideas. Being back with your parents has got to be just like, all right, well, like, what are we doing? Oh, you got to stay in quarantine because, you know, there's risks out there that bringing back coronavirus to people that are older than you. So there's whole things. Yeah.
Yeah. It's frustrating. It drove me nuts all week. I was like, I'm a bum in my parents' basement. Like, that's what I am right now. And I wake up, I'm getting killer sleep. I'm getting 8+ hours every night, playing lots of video games, lots of Wii golf, watching lots of football, betting lots of money on sports, you know, like doing all the things that I should be doing. But then it's just like, it drives me crazy because I'm not like, because I always have like this weird internal checklist of like things that I want to get done. And I'm like, why am I not doing those things? Like, I want to make t-shirts right now. Like, why am I not doing that? Why am I not redesigning the website? Why am I not doing that? There's like so many whys that I ask. I'm like, just take a break for a sec. Like, a couple days isn't going to kill you.
I'm happy that you're putting your hands below your ass and fucking sitting on them.
I'm trying. Yeah. I'm looking at you and I'm like, Andrew's like 75% through green lights on Matthew McConaughey. It seems like he's finding himself within the cicadas in South Carolina. Like, I always get excited to follow you when you're on vacation because you're, make sure you hit record. I always get excited to like follow you when I just get really excited to follow you when you're on vacation because you just like, I feel like you take the time to really just like dive in and entertain yourself in a totally different way than you normally would. And I envy that about you because when I come home here, I'm like, why am I not doing the things that I just was doing? Like, I keep looking in different directions that's not right in front of me.
Yeah. No, I feel that, man. I guess my average quality kind of like veering into that, looking at myself like a bum and my average quality, you know, I don't know if I vocalized this on the podcast, but you know, the people closest to me knew this. I did No Nicotine November, and yet again, Andrew fails to get through the month when he is damn near there. I did Sober October 2 years ago and I got 20 days in and then I said, fark it. And booze was like, I think Jordan Roberts was in town and maybe one other person. I was like, I want to go out with the boys. And this time around, I got through 25 days. I saved $140 on vapes. Still haven't bought a vape. But I was at Thanksgiving with both my brothers and four of my cousins who all vape. And I had a couple drinks and I said, fuck it. Hand me that vape. And I damn near knocked myself out on the first hit of that vape. Oh, I'm a bum. I'm a degenerate. What can I say?
You're a bum. You're a bum and you're a degenerate. You have no discipline in your life. I don't know how else to say it.
I'm a coward. I never deserved this life. And I'm addicted to nicotine.
Runs of the family. What can I say?
What can I say? So that's my average quality. I get so damn close. Like, I had 6 days left in the month.
I mean, were you like, I feel like you were just accepting. You're like, 25 days was good enough. Like, it was longer than 20 and it was not quite what you wanted. So you kind of hit the mark that you were, you satisfied yourself with the 25 days. So you just were like, fuck it.
Right. And that's why it's my average quality.
See, like, that's totally fine for me. I mean, it's tough getting, like, the news and you're like, dang it, dude, he drank. Like, I'm supposed to, like, I'm on the same grind. Like, why the hell is he drinking and I'm not? You know, like, I don't remember what situation was, but I was pissed when you did that. And then
was just sad. You just go sad.
I was, like, disappointing. I was like, what a bum, you know? And then this time around, I was like, kind of knowing your mentality, I was like, not shocking. This is exactly how it should have happened. I mean, this is how it works.
Oh man. Well, what's the biggest improvement from one to two? Two, I got more five. I got 5 days longer than one. So whatever.
Whatever. I think those challenges are kind of dumb anyways. Like, I think I would have personally, I complete them just because it's fun to have the closure. I'm like, you did it for the month, all 31 days or whatever. But, like, what's really the difference between 31 days and 30 days when the 32nd day you just go back and you're piping vapes all day, every day?
Yeah, ripping chimneys.
Like, what are we really up against here? You know, especially with Sober October, it's like, you know, you're sober for the month. Cool. Like, you got the experience. Now in November, you're just going to get trashed on the first weekend you got.
Yeah. You know, like, it's – I got to find moderation. Really, that's what the real goal is. Admitting to myself that I need to eliminate it, which I don't really want to do because the idea of nicotine is – I'm a very pro-nicotine person. It's wow. It's the tobacco usage or the way that you take it is what's the most dangerous thing, like chewing tobacco, gum cancer, vaping, lung cancer. It's finding a ways to do it in moderation because nicotine is like – a great substance to help like with focus and just help like in height and enhance just small things with cognitive function. But the actual ramifications of it is where you go wrong. This is something I read in Own the Day with Aubrey Marcus. I got to go back and find the way that he was taking it, but there's some type of nicotine, whether it's like the way that people are doing it in South Africa and South America, where it's like a leaf and you're chewing it and it's less like it's not cutting up the gums in your mouth. It's doing it. It's getting the nicotine in your system. I don't know. There's something it's there like that I need to figure out, but I'm pro nicotine. And that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, no. Wow. Major stance taken on the podcast, 45 minutes in. That's shocking. You know, you never thought we would get to this part in 2020 and Andrew's pro nicotine. Hard pro nicotine.
Hard. Affirmative.
Affirmative. I do like the idea of you know, it shouldn't be nicotine that we're harping on. It should be the ways of ingestment that we're taking it, essentially. That's what you're saying. And you're saying like it's just harmful to your body the ways that we typically ingest it, which like you admittedly said, like, yeah, vaping is not necessarily probably the best way to do it. Which it sounds, when you mentioned the leaves, I mean, are there nicotine chewable leaves out there that we can get our paws on? I feel like you just throw those in with your eggs in the morning.
I think that, yeah, that's what I got to find. I got to find those chewables, those gummies, and throw them in with the eggs. Because, you know, whenever you mix anything with eggs in the morning, it's going to be a good day.
Pretty much. That's what we've always said. That's been a staple, supposedly.
Staple here on the podcast.
You know, I'm excited for you. I'm glad you made it the amount of days that you did. But I think at the end of the day, we're striving for moderation here. We're not really striving for long amounts of time where we're dry.
Long amounts of times with a foreseeable turn in I don't know how to word it correctly, but it's a speed bump. It's like it's one little blockage. I'm not looking at it as like a solution. I'm putting a Band-Aid on an issue and being like, oh, it's going to bleed out anyways.
Do you think that your Black Friday, Cyber Monday sales went as well as they did because of the lack of nicotine that you had or because of the nicotine that you had? Do you attribute any of your success to nicotine? That's really my question.
Yeah, good question. I do attribute a little bit of the success to nicotine, yes. And as sad as that sounds, like a good grind sesh on ads, like a good 5 hours of like putting a podcast in my, on my ears and cranking out ads and writing up reports. I'm not ripping blows of cocaine. I'm just hitting puffs of vapes and I'm loving it. And I got a big smile on my face the whole time. Like I'm sitting there and I'm absolutely ingesting ads and ingesting this vape. So yes, I attribute some of my success to nicotine.
See, I think that's great. I think that, in life, you're not really trying to find, like, if you're young and dumb in your 20s, the goal is not necessarily to find the job that you love. It's to find the job that you love and can ingest nicotine to enhance how much you love it.
Exactly. That's what really it's all about.
I think, yeah, if you're looking at an office that's like anti-vape versus working from home, I mean, you've really got to take that into consideration, especially when you're looking at it in the terms of happiness.
Right. Speaking of the Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend, this will be released on Tuesday, so that little stint has been completed. I just want to say I absolutely murdered it this year. Caleb and I with Social Works. If anyone really wants to get their Facebook ads done and have an awesome budget and maybe a good foundation for us to scale up, you need to reach out because we have built out a bulletproof model, especially for this company right here, Unreal. We dominated Thursday and then it leaked into like Thursday before Black Friday. And then it just launched us onto a great weekend. It's just really fun because this is like the Super Bowl. This is what the whole years of work, all years of work is leading up to. And it paid off. So I just wanted to vocalize that. Caleb, if you're listening to this, which I know you're not, but I'll tell you about this on Monday. You're the fucking man, and I love working for you every day. And let's continue to take this thing to Mars.
That's sick. Yeah, shout out to Social Works. You guys have put in some serious hours. I wasn't shocked when I saw the news. When we ran the numbers and I saw what you guys were churning, I was like, that's no brainer. That's just hard work. That's just exactly what you want. Yeah, that's a bowl full of soup, you know, a nice hearty meal. That's what jambalaya. Social Works does, dude. Yeah, it's jambalaya. What's the meat in there? Whatever. Doesn't matter what the obstacle is. Social Works gets it done. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. I also like, my mom says this every year and she's so just dead on about it. It's just like, it was genius for whoever came up with Black Friday to just like, and for some reason, we all agree that we should like rush to get our things purchased and ready to go for Christmas. Like that's literally the whole point of the day is like capitalize on the deals before it's too late. Like someone created a day that everyone agrees that it should just feed right into e-commerce and just commerce in general. Like you're never supposed to make a decision quickly. That's what Black Friday is. You're never supposed to like just buy everything at once. You know, there's all these different like faux pas of consumerism. And Black Friday somehow manages to like vex every single one of those and sell it to everybody. It's genius. And not only that, it's Black Friday used to just be Friday. Now it's like Thursday, like after your Thanksgiving meal at 7 p.m. on Thursday, going into Black Friday, and then carries that into Cyber Monday. They turned it into a 5-day week.
Yeah, and this year has gone even longer, like because of lack of, it's a bad economy for purchasing goods, consumer goods. A lot of companies were hurting. They started Black Friday on November 1st. Like there was like they were saying, "Here's my Black Friday deal on November 1." And like Caleb and I didn't do that, but we like said, hey, sign up. We were promoting Black Friday on November 1, saying sign up for this email list to be on exclusive offerings for when we do release things. But it's just hilarious. Agreed. It vexes all of the things you learn for how to handle your money appropriately when it comes to buying things. And we harp on the needs. And the best thing is, this isn't like we're coming after you on a Friday in November. No, we came after you on January. We came after you on December 1st, the year before, and built a funnel around you to make sure that you were here again. Or if you weren't here this last time, you're here this time on Black Friday.
It's crazy. I didn't buy anything personally. I'm going to buy some shoes tonight. They've been sitting in my cart for about a week now. Whoever's the ad manager at Nike right now is probably like, who the hell is this guy? He's losing his mind. But I will say, you know, these shoes have been speaking to me. I got to get them. It's going to happen.
Yeah, you're due for an upgrade in your wardrobe. You're one of those guys that rarely upgrades your wardrobe.
Correct. And I'm pulling the trigger this year. But I'm also like, is there a way because – like I pushed off Black Friday. I pushed off buying Christmas gifts anyways. And I feel like my mom always says too, like the deals for Black Friday basically leak all the way to Christmas anyways, but they just put hype around Black Friday. Is that true? Like, are you're going to be offering similar deals by the time, like from now to Christmas?
No, a lot of them will be out of stock, but they'll be like, hey, expect this deal to come back. And it'll be probably 7 to 10 days before Christmas. So expect like that deal to be going on, like it'll run back again, maybe like the 10th to the 15th because of shipping times. They want to make sure you get your stuff on the doorstep before Christmas. So they'll probably run this exact same deal in the middle of December just to make sure that you have another chance to jump on it. But it won't be available for a few days because they got to restock on inventory.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Right on. Yeah. Cause I was just thinking like, because, like, I know we have merch and all this stuff that we could be capitalizing on for Black Friday, but we didn't. So I was like, I wonder if there's a way that we can, like, drop a clothing line, like, for the people who didn't get Black Friday, like, totally dialed in on their consumer end of things. Is that, like, a thing or no?
Yeah, I definitely think we need to jump on. I've kind of screwed the pooch on that one.
Yeah, you're kind of the sales guy. I kind of figured this was your responsibility to handle our Black Friday sales, but yeah. Whatever.
Not and I got all problem. Excited for the clients in another direction. But I was thinking about this like literally the day before. I was like, oh, crap. We have all the good content, pieces of content that Jordy shot for us too, like just sitting in a Google Drive folder that we could use as our Black Friday sales. But yeah, there's definitely, let's talk about this tomorrow. Meeting Monday. Let's do. Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. Meeting Mondays are back. That's the backbone of this company. You mean you literally just having a meeting. I just think that's funny. Phenomenal that it continues to happen for the last 2.5 years.
Time and time again.
Time and time again. Absolutely. But, should we hit him with anything else before we, head out here?
I think that's pretty much everything. Let's talk
donations.
About best Christmas ever one last time. Let's see. Today this podcast is December 1st. Bingo. Sweet. Today and today of all days, donate if you have the opportunity, because Thrivent Financial is going to match 50% of every donation. You donate $100, Thrivent will top that with another 50. So get to your pocketbooks, go to our show notes right now, donate for Best Christmas Ever. If it's not our page, maybe it's a friend's page. There's a bunch of these Twin Cities families that need to be helped, and jump on the train, because Thrivent Financial is capitalizing on today and today only in matching every donation 50%.
Perfect. Can we clip that and put it at the very beginning of the podcast as like the first sound? But we got to make it, or should we record another one right now? Of like what we like more to make it more formal. What do you think? I think you crushed it, but
I like it. I'll clip this out. I think this is perfect.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Sweet. Best Christmas ever. Go send some donations. I'm excited.
Please, please donate. We're going to be raising, basically we're going to raise this money to go buy gifts and then surprise this family on Christmas. And like, they have no idea it's coming. And I just got off the phone with our sponsor, like the person who nominated this family. And he's coming up with some ideas for different gifts and stuff that this family needs. We're going to talk to him later this week. So We're finding out more intel as you are, but just know that your money will be making an impact, truly.
Your money will be making an impact, and also every donation from now until December 10th will add time to me sitting in the water, cold water submersion with Luis Leonardo on December 10th at 1 p.m. So a little backstory here quick. My objective of promoting Best Christmas Ever, or my push, creative way to do it, courtesy of you, Declan, thank you for this creative idea. I'm sitting in the cold tub for 5 minutes, and every donation from this was, I would say, Tuesday of last week. It was like November 22nd, maybe. And from that day on, every donation I was adding, I'm going to add 30 seconds in hopes of getting up to 30 minutes. And once I hit that 30-minute mark, Luis and I will sit in the cold tub for 30 minutes. And every donation from then on, I'm going to match $250 cap. So I want to donate my personal amount of $250 after we hit the 30-minute mark.
Right on. So I love that idea. I remember we were coming up with different like things that we could do to help raise awareness. And let me run this idea by, this is what I'm thinking. So I'm thinking of saying that I'm going to do 1,000 burpees, but every donation, each burpee is a dollar in donation. So I'm going to try and raise as much as $1,000 from basically when I promote it, which will be Tuesday, give day, till I'll do mine December 11th, the burpees, but basically same exact thing. Like, I'm going to be working my way down from 1,000 burpees. And everyone knows that I cannot do 1,000 burpees. I could probably do like, I don't know how many I can do, but I'm basically just going to go live at a certain point and try and drive donations to bring my number from 1,000 burpees down to however many. So donate if you don't want to see me die.
Right. So every dollar in donations will decrease your amount of burpees.
So yeah, if you're the first one to donate, when my cap's at 1,000, it'll put it, and you donate $20, I will now have to do 980 burpees.
Burpees. I love it. I love it.
So please donate. Please, for the love of God, I cannot do 1,000 burpees.
That's amazing.
Does it even have legs, or should I go somewhere else with it? I think that has legs. I think it'll work.
Yeah, I think that's a fun way to promote it. There's always something there. If you're doing it not mundanely, just saying, hey, can you donate? Any other way to do it, I think is awesome. So I love it. Sweet. I think that circles the Best Christmas Ever. Go to the show notes if you have any other questions.
Go to the show notes. Link to donates there. You can get all the fun and just the fun, good loving stuff in the show notes. They're always there.
Yeah. Show notes are packed with info. Go to the show notes.
Show notes are always packed with things that you may need. Put it that way. But yeah, I think that kind of wraps it up. Next Tuesday, we'll have another podcast. I think it'll be me and you again, unless we decide to spice things up.
Yeah. Maybe we try to spice something up. I love this. And I don't know how many more yearly reflections we can do, but we'll figure out another way.
I don't know how many more times we can reflect on what we're doing, but we're gonna give it our damnedest.
Sweet, man. All right. We love you guys.
Love you guys. Take care.
Seeing double. Tell the whole squad out the back door, man, I think it's time to huddle. Yeah. We're in trouble. Wrote a pop song, tried to pop off, but I think we popped a bubble. And we run around, but now I know we're tired of the nonsense, all the things we can't control. Really, really messes with a healthy mindset. Are we there yet? Or is this just said it always goes the same way, but I don't believe you. No, I don't, no, I don't. Triple coverage. Had it mapped out, but you spaced out, man, you didn't see it coming.